Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. Brother John talked about going to the doctor. A doctor gave a man 6 months to live. The man couldn't pay his bill, so the doctor gave him another 6 months to live. Isn't that how it goes? That's how you live to 100. Just don't pay the doctor, he'll give you another 6 months. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in the parables that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 13. And last week, we looked at the fifth parable, and we saw how Israel is God's chosen hidden treasure. We saw that Jesus found it hidden in the field, and again, the field is the world. So he hides it again, and he goes out and he pays an enormous price to buy the field that it was in. And that price was his precious blood on Calvary. Some of you may say, well, you know, Pastor, what about us? What about the Christians? What about the church? Well, we're going to get that answer this morning as we look into the sixth parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 13. Skip down to verse 45. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about pearls, and I thought, I wonder what the biggest pearl would be. What is the world's most valuable pearl? Well, I looked it up, and it was found about 15 years ago by a fisherman in the Philippines. In fact, when he found this pearl, he took it home and he hid it under his bed for 10 years. He believed it would bring him good luck as a fisherman, so he hid it under his bed for 10 years. The pearl was just over 2 foot long, 1 foot wide, and weighs 75 pounds. Its estimated value is well over $100 million. Tucked under his bed. And you know what the irony is? The fisherman ended up moving, didn't want to lug around a 75-pound pearl, and he gave it to a relative. Thank God she was part of the Philippines government, and as the picture shows, it's on display in the Philippines today. But that is on record the largest pearl ever found. Now, this parable, like most of the others, it's very often misinterpreted. I've heard it most often interpreted as the merchant was a sinner and he was seeking after God. And when he finds him, he sells all that he has to follow Christ. But as I said, that is a misinterpretation. So let's look at why this is a wrong interpretation according to the Bible. Well, first and foremost, as a sinner, we never seek after God. Amen? Think about before you came to Christ. How often did you think about God? Thought about self, right? So Bible makes it very clear that in Romans 3:11, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. In fact, it's the complete opposite. It's God that seeks us. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam sinned, first thing he did, he tried to hide from God. Amen? Read about that in the book of Genesis. Right after Adam sinned, he realized that he was a sinner and he tried to hide from God. And it was God that cried out, Adam, where are you? Now, we need to understand that God knew exactly where Adam was, and the reason why he called out was that he wanted Adam to know that he was still seeking after Adam. Even after Adam sinned, God still wanted a relationship with him, and it was God that was seeking after him. And it was true from that point forward with every single sinner. Amen? We don't seek after God, it's God that seeks after us. Know this, if you find yourself seeking after God, understand that He was seeking after you first. His Holy Spirit was working on your heart for you to want to seek after Him. Amen? Secondly, as a sinner, we are spiritually bankrupt. And as such, we have nothing to sell. Amen? If we are spiritually bankrupt, we cannot sell anything to follow after Christ. Amen? So the Bible makes it clear that our righteousness is that of filthy rags. Amen? In our flesh, our old nature, the Bible makes it clear that there is no good thing. And lastly, Jesus and salvation is never for sale. Amen? Doesn't matter how much wealth we can accrue, doesn't matter how much notoriety we have, Jesus, salvation, redemption, none of it is for sale. It would be blasphemy to say that Jesus Christ could be bought. Amen? Salvation, redemption, that is a free gift from God. Free gift. It can't be earned. It cannot be bought. Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. Think of a wage. What is a wage? That's our just payment for what we've done, right? We go to work every week. At the end of the week, we get what? A paycheck. That's our wage for the work that we've done. So the wages of sin, the sins that we have committed, the just payment is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ, redemption, salvation is free. It's a free gift of God. Can never be bought, can never be earned, no matter what. Amen. We need to praise God for that. Now that we know what this parable does not mean, let's dig a little deeper. Let's look into God's word this morning and see exactly what this pearl of great price really is. And the first thing we have to look at is the man and his pearl. Let's think about that. Who's the man? Well, this man, as the parable tells us, is a merchant. And as is the case with all of these parables, Jesus identified himself as the man, the son of man, the sower. He is also the merchant here. And the pearl represents the church. The pearl is the church. It is the body of Christ. It is the body of believers. Jesus and he alone has purchased the church. Just as he purchased Israel, that chosen and hidden treasure, he has also purchased the church with his precious blood. Amen? Israel is God's special hidden treasure. The church is God's pearl of great price. The church is never referred to in Scripture as a treasure, and Israel is never referred to in Scripture as a pearl. So we need to understand when we hear hidden treasure, it's talking about the nation of Israel, but the pearl of great price, he's talking about you and I, born-again believers, the church. Amen? So secondly, we need to consider the man and his purchase. We think about the man and his pearl, the pearl being the church. What about his purchase? Does anyone know how a pearl is made, how it's formed? You ever hear a story on that? So the formation of pearl is actually a beautiful illustration of the church. And understand that there's nothing in Scripture that's coincidental. Amen? The reason why God chose a pearl is because it fits. We understand how a pearl is formed. It starts with a grain of dirt, right? Something of no value. Something dirty. It starts with a grain of dirt, and that impurity gets caught inside of a clam or an oyster. And as a defense mechanism, that clam, that oyster, produces a chemical to cover that dirt, so that dirt can't harm it. And over, it produces layer after layer of this chemical. And over time, that ugly, worthless, filthy piece of dirt turns into a beautiful, valuable pearl, transformed. The pearl is the only gem made out of something living. Anyone ever know that? A pearl is the only gem made out of something that was living. that oyster, that clam produces that beautiful, just transform that piece of dirt into that beautiful, valuable pearl. Now we think about this formation of the pearl, and we equate it to our own lives. Think of how filthy and dirty we were as sinners. Amen? And over time, as we came to Christ, we put on His righteousness that covers all that dirt and all that filth and all that sin and transforms us into a beautiful child of God. Amen. No coincidences in the Bible. That's exactly why God chose a pearl. Amen. As that illustration. So we think about the two. Let's compare the two. Well, first, they go from filthy to fabulous. Amen. From filthy to fabulous. Before coming to Christ, you know, as I said, our righteousness, the Bible says that we are as filthy rags. We receive Christ by faith. We are washed, cleaned, cleansed. White as snow, the Bible tells us. We put on His righteousness. Our filth is covered. Secondly, they go from darkness to light. Think about where clams and oysters spend their time. The bottom of the ocean. Amen. I don't think it could be much darker. I don't think we could be much lower than inside of an oyster or a clam at the bottom of the sea. But that pearl is lifted up. It's removed from the bottom. It's brought up to shine and glisten in the sun, in the sun. Amen. Have you ever seen the sheer beauty of a pearl reflected in the light or in the sunshine? If you ever get a chance, take a pearl and hold it out into the sunlight and watch the sheer beauty of that pearl come through as that sun makes it glisten. Again, it's a perfect picture of how we, as the body of Christ, how we as the church reflect the spectacular light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as that pearl glistens in the sun, you and I, we reflect that wonderful, glorious, life-saving light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are His reflection. And we've also been lifted up. We've been taken out of that dirt and that darkness and brought into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Those are the words of Christ Himself. Taken from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. We are transformed just like that little piece of dirt is transformed into that beautiful pearl. Thirdly, they're both carefully formed. That little pearl grows over time, layer by layer by layer inside of that clam until it becomes a beautiful masterpiece, a work of art. You know, the Bible says the same about us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's wonderful masterpiece, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's dig a little bit deeper into His purchase. First thing that we see is that He sought after it. Amen? He sought after it. In our original scripture, Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. We think about that for a moment. Have you ever thought about that? That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Himself, personally sought after you individually? I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful thought. It's an amazing thought. That our Lord, our Creator, personally sought after us one on one. Psalm 45:11. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. That psalm speaks about just how precious we are in Christ's sight. Jesus is our seeking Savior. He is the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he seeks us in many different ways. First way he seeks us is through his Holy Spirit. We think about that. I mentioned it earlier that if we find ourselves seeking after God, then we need to understand his Holy Spirit was calling upon our heart. Amen? God seeks after us first and foremost through his Holy Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sins. It's that voice that tells us when we do something wrong. And listen, never, ever fight that Holy Spirit's conviction. Amen? Never fight conviction. It's a good thing. Sometimes he will also seek us through sorrow, through hardships. He seeks us through his Holy Spirit, but he also seeks us through those valleys that we have to go through. He's going to seek us out in that trial. He's going to seek us out in that tragedy. He's going to seek us out. Why? Because he doesn't want us to hurt alone. Amen? He wants to help us through. He wants to pick us up and carry us through if it comes to that. How many times? You know, we're a little stubborn, aren't we? A little hard-headed. Don't tell my wife, she doesn't think so. But we are, right? We get stubborn, we get hard-headed, we get fixed in our ways. And there's many times that God has to knock us flat on our back to get us to look where? Up. Amen? So many times he has to put us through, allow us to go through that hardship in order for us to look up. Again, he seeks us many, many different ways. Through his Holy Spirit, through hardships. It could be a friend. It could be a family member. It could be a Christian that you don't even know. It can be the Word of God. Maybe you picked up your Bible and just started to read it. It can be a Christian song. It can be a pastor. It can be a sermon. God speaks to us and seeks us in many, many different ways. Bottom line is, look, there's no reason to run. Amen? Why? Because there's nowhere to hide from God. Amen? Doesn't matter where we go, God will find us. And he will continue to seek us. Why? Because he loves us. Amen? He's going to continue to seek us because he loves us. We also need to understand that God's mercy does have a limit. Amen? There will come a time when we reject him over and over and over again that God will stop seeking us. Amen? I hope and pray you never hit that point. Never resist God's seeking. Amen? We think about this parable, the pearl of great price. We have no value on our own, amen? We have value because God seeks after us and because he loves us. That's what gives us our value, amen? So first and foremost, he sought us. Secondly, he also bought us, amen? He bought us. That merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You know, that's interesting when we read this parable. He's seeking beautiful pearls, plural, amen? But when he found one of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. That talks about salvation being a one-on-one relationship, amen? Jesus died for all of our sins. But you know what? He loves you enough one-on-one that he still would have went to Calvary's cross if you were the only one to come to him. Amen. Salvation is one-on-one. Each single individual pearl is of great price. And he went out and sold all that he had to buy that wonderful pearl. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Did you ever think about that verse? You ever hear that verse before? To truly understand, to fully understand all that this verse truly means, we need to understand that he left all of his splendor, all of his glory in heaven to come down, to seek us out. To seek us out not because we were so great, not because, you know, we were so wonderful. He came to seek us out right in the middle of our wickedness and our sins, right in the middle of our ugliness. Think of all the suffering that he had to endure for us. His entire earthly life, he was fully aware of Calvary. Think about how heavy that had to weigh on his heart. His entire earthly life, he lived in the shadow of the cross. He was aware of every heartache. He was aware of all the pain that he would endure. He was aware, most importantly, that he who knew no sin would become sin for us. He was beaten, he was punched, he was spit upon, he was whipped. For what? What reason? Why? Why did Jesus suffer? Because he was purchasing that pearl of great price. Now we think about that wording, the pearl of great price. Our thoughts originally go to how valuable the pearl is. But what we need to understand again, why does that pearl have such value? Because the price that Christ paid for it. Amen? That pearl of great price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why was it so valuable? He was paying a debt that we could never pay. He was giving all that he was. Everything that he was in his human nature for you and for me. He sought it, but most importantly, he bought it. You say, preacher, what does all this, you know, really tell us? Well, to sum it up, we cannot buy, we cannot earn our redemption. Jesus is never for sale. That's hypocrisy. Amen? Nor do we, as spiritually bankrupt sinners, have anything to offer. Amen? How could we even buy Christ? How could we earn our salvation? How could we earn our redemption when we are spiritually bankrupt? We have nothing. Secondly, we're not seeking after him. It's him who's seeking after us. Amen? Jesus made us into something beautiful. Jesus made us, he transformed us into something of great value. He took our dirt, he took all those wretched sins, and he covered them with his precious blood. We put on his righteousness, and we, as true believers, are the pearl of great price.